Here we go. Kathy, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm wonderful. William, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I would be doing better if Blog Talk Radio allowed me to dial in. That would be great if that were to happen.
Awesome.
So apologies.
Yes.
We're going to do this live in front of the audience. So normally we have a couple minutes pre-show, but we didn't get to have that today. That was taken from us. But I am absolutely glad to have you on today. I can't wait to hear what's going on in your world. And for the audience, do me a favor, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, no problem. Good morning. I'm Kathy Misseldine, and I'm currently the Chief Performance Officer at Intellectual Capital Consulting, where my main focus is, you know, looking strategically at HR and HR metrics and analytics. And so that's been my focus over the last 10 or 12 years, a huge passion of mine, and I've just now and the past president for Sherm Atlanta just handed that over to the lovely Tila Jackson this year. So that's a little bit about me.
All right, I got to dig into HR metrics because you've been kind of at ground zero with all this stuff. You know, all the players. Where are we at in our evolution of HR metrics? What's your take?
You know, William, I am very much encouraged. You know, when I first started talking about metrics, it was to about four or five people. And, you know, and that was – gosh, that was probably 2000, late 90s, 2000, and we've been doing different workshops all over the country, and to see how HR is progressing down the business acumen slash metrics competency set is it's really encouraging. So we have these folks coming through, and they're really talking about their business like a business person and not just like an HR person. And so with that comes the curiosity around the metrics, which I think that's a great starting point, because for so many years, HR's been scared to death of the numbers and the math. And really what I tell them is, you know, you just have to be good consumers of metrics. You know, I'm not asking you to sit down and run a regression or a correlation or anything like that, but what I want you to do is start asking the right questions and understand what these processes can give you as far as information on the business. So I am extremely encouraged. So I think, you know, I see a lot of companies, you know, starting to do that first level data analysis and data reporting, which is a lot more than they did 10 years ago. I see more and more companies getting into that predictive realm, just not the big companies, you know, like the usual suspects, but I see mid-sized companies looking at data to make important people decisions. So I say I'm very positive on the impact and the movement we've made.
What are the metrics that matter these days? So give us if you can, with a broad stroke, give us an idea of what are people really measuring versus, you know, the fluff or what do we need to stop measuring?
Well, you know, William, I think I the metrics that matter to me are the ones that are tightly wound around your organizational strategy. So for a hospital, you know, you're probably measuring a lot with patient care, employee engagement because of the requirements there. So that might be a metric that matters to you, but not necessarily to a manufacturing environment where the metrics are highly wrapped around cost and cost of goods sold and things like that. So I believe there's a set of the usual suspects that everybody must measure. But those ones that really matter to the business are pretty customized to that business. But I do see trends in our usual suspects. So take turnover. We've been measuring that for 50 years or whatever. And what I see is HR beginning to think and act like marketers where this is concerned. In other words, segmenting that data until it tells us a story to, you know, where is this turnover happening and what is the root cause of turnover? So instead of looking at turnover by, you know, holistically at the organizational level, look at it by supervisor, department, location, look at it by generation, look at it by performance score, look at it by engagement score. So really getting granular with it until you can get to root cause. And so what I'm saying is the metrics that matter to your organization are the strategic ones are going to be customized to that organization or unique to that organization. And we're always going to measure those things that keep the trains on the track. Turnover, you know, time to fill, cost per hire, a lot of training metrics, a lot of recruiting, tons of recruiting data. We're always going to have to measure those things to make sure we're efficient and effective. But when we start combining these data sets by looking at turnover and are we losing all our high potentials and how much is that costing us, that's where we start to add value. I hope that made sense.
Oh, absolutely. What are your favorite recruiting metrics?
Well, I say it a lot. My favorite recruiting metric is quality of hire, and because I believe that's where the rubber meets the road. The business, you know, yes, you've got to get a person in there in a timely fashion, and yes, you've got to do it, you know, with the least amount of cost. But with the way we recruit today, that's, it's not a huge issue. But really where the rubber meets the road, I feel like, is in the quality of hire, because that can make or break you. It's in terms of cost, productivity, lost opportunity, everything else. Bench, you know, because, you want people to stay, so your bench strength is strong, et cetera. So it has a knock-on impact. So I really love quality of hire.
Take us into that. If someone's not smartly already approaching quality of hire, I don't want you to do consulting, but just if they've never measured it and they don't really even know where to start, how do they go about measuring quality of hire?
I think it's simple. And so, you know, things like this are so simple, and I don't think people have to get wrapped up in a lot of high-level metrics in this area. Now, there's Darren Scherer, who used to work for PeopleSoft. He wrote a huge white paper on it, and he recommends an index looking at many different measures like look at turnover, look at retention, look at days to fill, time to fill and cost per hire, and looking at an index. And one of those index is 90-day performance rating. So for a company that's just starting to look at quality of hire, do a 90-day kind of abbreviated version of your performance appraisal, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 questions, something like that, get an overall score, have the manager, you know, participate in that, and then, you know, that would be one of your areas, and then look at it again in the year and see how their performance has increased or decreased. But it's all about just getting a performance measure, and that's, you know, that's something that's easy to do. And so a lot of companies are just using that one measure, average performance rating at either 60, 90 days, or if the ramp-up time is longer, it might be 120 days.
Okay, you just landed a job as the CHRO of Coca-Cola, which is in Atlanta, of course.
Yeah.
So you probably know people over at Coca-Cola. Well, okay, so you're there, you're walking around, you're checking things out, and you can only measure one thing. What would that
stop
be?
Stop it. If I can only measure one thing at Coca-Cola, and their business is a sales-driven organization, right? It's all about selling more Coke than Pepsi, right? So I think it would be, if I could only measure one thing, it would probably be revenue per employee. Because a sales-driven organization, that's going to be job one. And then after that, it would probably be around something like revenue per employee would be a good one. And then I would probably start taking a look at employee engagement, turnover, bench strength, because I'd imagine in an organization like that, bench strength is going to be important, especially at the leadership level. So how many have ready now replacements? How are we getting our talent? You know, are we staffing up 4 or 5 years from now? Things like that. I would imagine that would be important to them.
Are you getting any more calls these days about engagement and culture and metrics that are related to those things?
You know, I think most of the calls I get today are around and it used to be engagement and culture, and it's kind of shifted. Most of it now is around how do I move from a transactional, you know, HR department to one that's more strategic. So that's part of the cause. And then the other ones are, can you tell us what we need to be measuring in HR? We're measuring 100 things, 200 things, and we don't know which ones we should keep measuring. And so those are the kind of two areas I get involved with.
Well, let's take a look at that because, you know, once you know, so let's say you weren't measuring something and now you do. Okay, there's a big aha moment. So it's a red, yellow, green. Now I know. But what can HR do with that data? Like, what's the action layer? Now that you have visibility and insight, great, fantastic. Now what do I do? Do you have a lot of folks that kind of talk with you about that type of stuff?
Oh, William, I think that is that's where the rubber meets the road in all this, because you're absolutely right. You can measure exactly the right thing, and you can do some analytics on these things and come up with a beautiful workforce plan, or you can come up with to be very predictive about who might be at risk for leaving, or who might. What is our successful profile look like in this organization? But where the rubber meets the road is action. And what you have to do is to be able to take your HR data and help the business solve a business problem. So, for example, I think you had Dr. Scott Mondor on your show not too long ago.
Right.
Him and I do a lot of work together. So say you've got a retail establishment that has a shrink problem. Well, shrink in retail is a bad thing. You're losing product through theft, spoilage, whatever. Well, that's all tied up in human behavior and policies and procedures and adherence to policies and procedures. HR could have a huge impact on that. So, you know, going in with the operations team and help putting initiatives in place that will impact that shrink, the business is going to think you're a rock star. And things like that have been done. I brought that up because that's one that Scott worked on. And so it's things like that just really elevate HR's credibility into the stratosphere, being able to solve a problem near and dear to the business.
Yeah, shrink happens in retail because you're hiring the wrong people.
Well, in this instance, believe it or not, you know, you get very weighted down in transactional stuff. In retail, the margins are thin, and during the recession, this company had decided to, you know what, we're not going to do background checks anymore. So guess what?
TVs are going out the back door.
Yeah, stuff's going out the back door. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, you say to yourself, well, that doesn't take metrics. Well, it did, because not only was the background checks having an impact, but their ethics course and their shrink course was mandatory. And the stores that made their employees go through it had less shrink, and the stores that didn't make their employees go through it had more shrink, but you had to have the data to, quote unquote, prove to management that these things were important. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you a big data question. Sorry about that. I want to get your take on the marketing of big data. So IBM's running a bunch of commercials, and so big data is mainstream. Everyone's hearing it. Is that good for HR? Or the marketing of big data, is it bad for HR?
Wow, that is a terrific question. That is so terrific. Let me think about it for just like 1 second. I'm going to go with it's good for HR, and here's why. I'm going to say that we need more pressure and more focus on getting us past this, you know, this phase one, phase two level of metrics to get us into the analytics space, which obviously with some companies is going to involve the big data piece. So I think the more pressure that's put on us to perform, hopefully we can step up to that, because I've seen a lot of movement from recession to now. And I think that's because CEOs have just been that much more demanding, because CEOs are making database decisions now. Way more than they used to. So I think the pressure of this marketing piece, and you're probably like I am, in your email basket every day, you've got, you know, 10 messages about big data from IBM, from Vivier, from a number of places. And so I think that awareness level also puts pressure on HR on HR, which is a good thing. So the expectation is there, you know.
We can't put on our heads in the sand forever, I guess, is the long and short of that, right?
You're exactly right. You know, and you always have a great way of just getting right to the chase, and that's exactly it.
Hey, we did it with social for years. We put our heads in the sand, you know, and it kind of worked out for us. We'll put our heads in the sand around big data for a couple of years, and hopefully it'll work out too. Let me ask you your technologies, your favorite technologies these days. There's a ton of different applications and tools, and you know, almost any HR software has some analytics already kind of baked into it. What are some of the things that maybe the audience doesn't see day in and day out, but what are your favorite tools?
You know, and that's very dependent on size of company and where they are. You know, I've seen it done anywhere. I've seen it done in Excel spreadsheets. I've seen it done in databases. But once you get to a mass, once you get to you know, the larger companies, obviously you're going to have a solution. And, you know, I think the best solutions are those that have the capability of analyzing HR data along with other data. So, in other words, being able to look at HR data with HR data, being able to look at HR data with operations and sales data is real important. So it's got to have that capability with the pipes in and out. And the reporting features have to be dynamic and easy because, again, you know, HR is not particularly well known for its analytical capability, so it needs to be kind of user-friendly. And so in the past, I've done many a presentation with Vidier, and I know you're familiar with them as well. And as far as a straight-up analytical tool that will allow you to do that, and it's almost intuitive in the way it reports, it's a great system. And you are absolutely right. Every single system out there, every talent management system out there, Taleo, HowlettZone, PeopleSoft, all of them have the analytic capability. But the hard part is for most HR departments is getting that data in one place. Because if you think about it, most HR departments have talent management system. They might have a recruiting system. They might have a learning management system. They have a payroll system. They have databases, Excel sheets. I mean, it's all over the place. So wrangling that data is a whole nother issue. And so, you know, I know you have Scott on there. They've got a great solution that integrates math with the talent management system. And so anything that gets to what drives performance, you know, I'm all about as well.
Well, let's talk about some of the barriers to why folks don't really gravitate towards metrics. So as we all know, HR is a little bit of art, a little bit of science. And and so I want to get your take as to why the reluctance? Why haven't we gotten better at grasping HR metrics than we are at this particular point?
You know, and I think it's because I think there's a bunch of reasons, and I bet you've got some opinions as well. I think, you know, the perception has been, you know, we've been very transactional, and metrics are very strategic in nature. So I think that's one piece of it. I think, and I hate to say it, you know, I love this profession. I have iHeart HR. I've got that shirt on right now. I just think it's skill set too, you know. So we have to continually assess our own skill sets and build those up. Now, is everybody going to be a data geek, and is everybody going to, you know, gravitate to this analysis? No, but we need somebody in the department that's responsible for it. But also be able to have an intelligent conversation about it and what it means. It's no different than finance, being able to understand accounting and those transactions and what ROI means and all that sort of thing. You've got to be a business person in all this. And so, you know, I think the strategic piece, skill set, I've had people tell me this in workshops, why aren't you measuring anything? I'm scared of math. That's come out of their mouth, you know, and really, again, you know, be a good consumer of these things. If you ask good questions and you've got the business problem, to get people to help you with the math is easy. Some some departments, some companies have that talent within the company in marketing or in R&D or, you know, in business performance or whatever. So those three, what else? Oh, I think because it's been assumed that the human capital piece is hard to measure, people have veered away from it because it's been soft or it's difficult. People have just stayed away from that. And so those are my initial thoughts. Did you have any more?
Oh, I think you got most of mine. I think it's the, you know, math, statistics. I also think that time management, a lot of our time is sucked away from us. Like if you looked at it, if we were really honest, and first of all, so let's just assume that. If we were really honest, our 60-hour work weeks, at least 40 to 45 hours of those are firefighting. It's responding to other stuff that's going on in the organization. So it's kind of hard to be strategic when you're going from one fire to another. So I think time management plays a kind of a part, and it's not the aspiration of being strategic. It's like I think it's in most people's hearts that they want to be there, and maybe skill, maybe they're not there that way, but some of it's just simple. They just don't have the time. It's not the inclination or otherwise. But let me get back to skills for a second. What's the one thing that they could do to ramp up? Let's wave a wand and say that they now have time. What's the one thing that they could do to go as a primer to kind of send them down this road around HR metrics? What could they do to make their skills better?
Oh, that's a good question. And here's what I'm thinking. I used to say, oh, well, just go take some, you know, statistic class or, you know, go back to school and take some. And no, before you can even start measuring, you've got to understand what to measure. So you've got to have a high level of business acumen. And so what I mean by that is understanding how your company makes money and understanding those metrics that are important to your company. If you're a sales-driven company, understand the P&L and your profit margins and your operating margins. You know, if you're manufacturing, understand cost of goods sold and how you do inventory and just be able to have those conversations. Because if you don't understand that, it's real hard to determine what you should be measuring. And so my opinion on that has changed in the last probably 3 to 4 years, William. I think the business acumen has to be foundational. And then if you're one of those people like an HR, let's say a comp person that's already wired towards kind of the more analytical piece of HR, and you really want to be able to do this, and that's the way I was. I just went straight back to school, signed up for a bunch of decision science classes, and actually started doing the data analysis so I understood it. Now, I don't crunch numbers today, but I definitely know how to tell that story, and I understand what the numbers are telling me. And so it can be done, you know. So I think it's just very dependent on where that person's skill set and career aspirations are as well. But I think for every HR person, we've heard it now for years. I've heard CEOs say it. And if you look at the most successful HR folks out there, they're bull first and HR people second.
I want you to put on your futures hat for the next 5 minutes and give us the future of HR metrics. What do you see?
Oh, my goodness.
15, 20 years down the road. Wave a wand and tell us how it will play out.
Well, let me get my my crystal ball. Hold on. It's in my briefcase. Hold on just a second. Listen, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a strategic arm for HR, just like finance is supposed to be the strategic arm of accounting, right? So there's going to be, you know, a strategic arm, and I don't know what it's going to be called, but it's, you know, it's going to be different than it looks today. And I think decisions, investments in human capital, all of those things will be put through an analytical lens because, you know, we're kind of in the new normal now. We'll never go back to the good old days where we made spins just based on gut and we just trained everybody to hope it solved a problem, right? we've got to be in a place where if we make this investment in training, it's going to impact A, then it will impact B, and then our revenue will go up. So I see that happening. I see everything being integrated into one cool system. I mean, can you imagine that? All your data in one system and the ease of use of that is just very fluid, and that every silo is on board with the use of the data. Finance, marketing, sales. It's not just siloed like it is now. It's more fluid. So those are my initial thoughts.
I like that. All right, we got about 3 minutes left. Where are you? What? Tell us about this year. It's February. We've already, you blink and 2 months are gone. So you got 10 months left in 14.
Yep.
What is the year? Yep. What does the year look like for y'all?
I am so excited. We are taking our program, moving from transactional to strategic. I will be going to Canada in April. I'm going to Shanghai to deliver that program twice this year, once in July, once in September, and I am ecstatic. I'm just thrilled that, they picked our program to deliver to global companies that are looking to make that transition within Shanghai. So that's awesome. We've got 17 workshops planned between now and the end of the year. We put 300 people last year through the workshop, and this year we're looking probably around 500. So I'm on the road a lot, and but I am enjoying what I do, and I am enjoying seeing this transition with these. It's just made a whole renewed confidence, and I'm so energized these days by talking to all these HR people and seeing what they're doing and their issues, and watching them really try to lift their game. It's been very, very awesome.
Where in Canada will you be?
I am going to Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
So going there to do...
It's beautiful.
Doing it's a Association of Legal Professionals, so doing a couple of days up there with those guys. And then in Shanghai, it's for the HR Association of China, HREC, and so doing that for them in Shanghai. So
and
the
I'll
message
get
is
to
going across the pond.
Well, that's awesome. And I'll get to see you at Sherman Atlanta coming up.
I know. I'm excited about that. What's your talk on this year?
It's just going to be about software and success, about the relationship between picking your vendors and not picking your nose. Just kidding. so I look forward to seeing you at Sherman Atlanta, and wonderful having you on the show. Thanks again for kind of breaking things down, sharing all of your wisdom with the audience, and let us know how we can best reach out to you. What's your Twitter handle?
It is at Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, Misseldine, M-I-S-S-I-L-D-I-N-E.
Oh, so you're not going to go war eagle on me, are you?
Well, I have had you. Oh, what a football year. War eagle, W-D-E.
All righty, done deal. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon. Kathy, thank you so much for coming on, and let's go out to a little audio slave. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, William.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.